Wait, great. This is the handshake where Ryan cracks my bones and we sync the sound, the audio to the video, to the sound of my hand crushing into small bits.
Well, I have been working out.
Anyway, I'm Jim.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is the Concept Crucible Podcast. And today, unsurprisingly, thanks to Ryan's segue, we're talking about exercise and life.
Yeah. If you remember back a couple episodes ago, we mentioned heading into unemployment that it's important to take care of yourself. And one of the things that we were aiming to do is to start working out. And since then, I have I signed up to go to the gym, and I've been going and exercising at the gym. So I've taken it beyond walking, and also because I've now found employment, I'm not walking the dog nearly as much as I want to. So instead,
not nearly as much as the dog wants you to.
Probably. He still gets 2 walks a day, but it's not necessarily me walking him. Sorry, Sarah. I was just thinking about exercise, and I was thinking about body image and whatnot, and it seemed like a good thing to talk about today as a podcast.
I've been working a bunch since I was at Liberty, and now that I'm not at Liberty, I continue to work out because I have a peculiar relationship with exercise and myself. But none of those things are an icebreaker. Our icebreaker is, what is your best sports experience, Ryan?
So I'd say my best was 2005 or 2006. I was out at the Rocky Mountain National Army Cadet Summer Training Center, which is a mouthful. It's really difficult You have to, on the parade square, you have to say all of that before you start issuing orders.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, because that's the name of the, that's essentially like the battalion or the camp name. So it'd have to be Rocky Mountain National Army Cadet Summer Training Center. Attention. So in order to address us, you have to say that as a prefatory command. So that summer, as with most cadet camps, you have a sports day where instead of doing any kind of training, you just rotate through a series of sporting activities, and one of them was shot putting. And normally I am not nearly as athletic as most of the cadets. Most of the cadets who go to camp are quite a bit more active than I am. A lot of runners, a lot of, like, people can do chin-ups. Let's just put it that way. People who actually can do chin-ups. I cannot do chin-ups.
And if you're really listening to the audio portion of this podcast instead of the video, you can watch the video on YouTube, and where you can see us, and we're smiling and we're laughing, and we have things on a shelf behind us like a Cthulhu and an Elliot and a beholder that Gina made, but also we're fat.
Yeah, we exert a larger than normal gravitational pull on everything around us.
We have more mass than you, probably.
So needless to say, I am not exactly the most active person. And one of the things that we did that summer was a shot put activity. And I remember looking at the mark that the person who had gone the furthest, and then I went and whatever the proper term is for launching the ball in shot putting.
Isn't it just throwing?
It could be throw. I don't know. But it's not a throw. Like, it's not a throw, right?
No, like it's like a spin and a...
No, you launch it. Like, there's no throwing motion. It is from here and you just launch it out, and the force of you launching your arm forward, I believe, is what counts. Like, you're not allowed to throw it at all.
Okay.
It's not like the softball throw in public school, right, where it's just whoever could throw the softball the farthest. And this one,
softball throw in public school?
It was a thing. I was always second place. There was one guy, Colin Brabender, he always was able to outthrow me in public school.
Curse you, Colin Brabender.
Curse you. And so the joke all through high school was second place. Not in a mean way, but I would say, hey, Colin, and he'd say, yeah, second place, because I never felt like he was making fun of me for that. It was always a good
humor. Anyway, shot put.
So I looked at the furthest mark on the ground, and then I launched the ball, and I probably cleared it by like 5 to 10 meters. Like, it was insane how much further I had thrown it, and nobody else out through that the entire day. Nice. There's 6 platoons of kids, and I was the only one to shot. I'm just like, wow, man.
I feel like you were the tallest one.
I was the, I was, if not the tallest, then one of the top like 2 or 3 kids. There wouldn't have been much taller than I, but yeah, it was just insane. I felt like king of the world, man, and like I should have won a gold medal for it. But so that's probably my best sports experience.
Huh.
How about you, Joe?
I don't have anything that tops that. No, I don't play real sports.
Competitive gaming is a real sport.
I don't game competitively.
But you still play a sport.
Skyrim's not a sport, turns out. But no, in the sport that I'm thinking of is dodgeball, or King's Court, as it is sometimes called in Canada.
Yeah, but those are two different rules.
Yes, they are. King's Court is a more fun rule set, I believe, because it doesn't involve standing in a circle, letting people throw things at you. King's Court lets you run around and stand on the other side of a field from people and let them throw things at you. But, I mean, the point is you get to run around. Mm-hmm. And I have the virtue. I know many people who describe themselves as clumsy. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting that being large... I have never been clumsy. I mean, it is one thing to be big and clumsy, but it is a far weirder thing, it seems, to be large and graceful. But I do a lot of stuff that involves precision movement and body awareness, like juggling and things like that. So I spend a lot of time knowing where my arms and legs are. And in dodgeball, it's really good to know all your arms and legs are. And so every time we would have to play dodgeball in gym class... which was whenever the gym teacher didn't feel like doing anything that day, and he was just like, hey, go play dodgeball. I'm going to go do whatever it is the gym teachers do. Mm-hmm. I don't know, wash shorts or something.
Count pennies.
Sure.
Yeah.
Organize the activity room. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what gym teachers do. If you're a gym teacher and you don't do any of those things, which you probably don't, just leave a comment and let me know. That way, when the next time I tell the story, it'll be better.
At least less insulting.
No, but no, and it would always work out that I was the last guy on my side. Couldn't throw a ball for shit. Can't hit another human being with a ball. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they've got like 10 people left, but it's just me, and we'd just sort of do that for 20 minutes until everybody else quits.
So you basically had the. Reaction of Spider-Man, you're able to dodge like insanely well.
Well, yeah, except Spider-Man doesn't have to see it. I can like see all the people who would be throwing things at me. And I mean, usually, like, I'd wind up out, but it was usually from bad luck or a terrible choice. Mm-hmm. But I mean, most of the time, yeah, it was just people throw balls at me for 15 minutes and then we all just call it and go home.
Yeah, I'm definitely large and slow moving, so I would get the occasional excellent dodge, but otherwise I was a very easy target to hit for dodgeball. So I did not experience anything like what you're describing.
Oh, it's super fun. I mean, yeah. It's one of those things where, as a big dude, I struggled, and not just as a big dude, but as a big dude who didn't like sports, mm-hmm. And who read books. And who didn't engage in sports in off-time activity, I struggled a lot in gym class, and it was one of those moments where you feel really powerful, even when you're not. Mm-hmm. And those are important moments to have, and I think that as a if you were a gym teacher, those are important moments to give to kids because high school is rough enough as it is.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on then. So one of the things I was thinking about with this is body image, because mm-hmm. I mean, I try to exercise to be healthy, but there's always that element in the back of my mind that if I work out, I'll look better. I'll have a more aesthetically pleasing body, right? And then I got thinking, normally when you talk about body issues, to me, my experience is talking about it come in two flavors, that it's way worse for women, and when guys talk about it, it's usually like men's rights activists saying, yeah, but men have body image problems in the media too.
We're not going to do either of those things. We're not going to acknowledge that it is way worse for women.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a woman, so therefore I'm not going to talk about body image issues for women, but I can certainly speak about my history with it, because it's kind of different. It's so... I've never felt the need to conform to a particular image, except from my grandfather. But he's whenever he criticizes my body image, it's only because he wants me to be healthy. I mean, I am a large individual. I'm over 300 pounds, right? That's not healthy. I can't sustain that, or I can't expect to live a long, long life if I'm constantly putting stress on my body, or I'm constantly having poor nutritional intake. So I generally feel that when he criticizes my body, it is coming from a concern that he comes from old school European, where if he wrestled, he was in the military for a short time, so being physically fit and strong was
ingrained. Gotta get your grandpa on the cast. It'll be called Ryan's Grandpa Kicks Our Asses.
Probably. That would be an interesting podcast, but he also,
we won't tell him he's on.
But he also just the day to day life. Granted, he was born in 37, I think it was. So I mean, the day to day life for him had a lot more physical activity in general. And for example, the last time I went to visit him, he gave me a picture of when he was in his 40s. He was in a swimsuit with my youngest uncle, who would have probably been under 10 at the time, and they were at a pool, and he gave me this picture, and I have it hung up on my wall, where he said, like, you don't have to be physically fit, but here, aim for something like this. And he's not super muscular, but he's like solid. He's solid. He worked in a factory. He was active with his
strong
kids.
Core. He'll whip your ass.
Yeah, I mean, and he's European, right? So just like
trying to currently like showing his,
yeah. So
his
he's
core.
So he's tree trunk all the way down, and he's got some muscle definition in his arms and his legs. Like, he's just a healthy, strong looking man. Not like a strong man, but he's a strong looking man. So yeah, the pressures I do get for conforming to a certain body type only comes from that point of it's healthier if I were to lose some body fat and maybe have a bit more muscle mass.
Well, that is a kind of pressure. Taking time to speak briefly about women and body image. I mean, you can tell from pressure in the media that pressure in body image is way stronger, and it's different for guys. It's be fit. And that is what. But whereas for women, it's often be thin, and it links it more strongly with their identity. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like such and such real women.
Yeah,
and those are campaigns that exist for guys.
Yeah, I mean, like with guys, I mentioned this in the production pre-production stuff. It is socially acceptable to be a fat white CEO,
mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it is unacceptable.
Dick Cheney's not losing any sleep.
Yeah. So, and for women, it's often completely unacceptable to have anything that deviates from what is expected of the norm.
Yeah.
But it's perfectly permissible to be the fat white cat, or fat rich cat, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
fat cat from Rescue Rangers.
Nothing removes pounds from a dude like wealth.
Yeah.
I find that nothing makes people less likely to judge him for his fatness than him having a giant pile of money.
No.
I don't know actually anything about that in experience. But no, I experience the same kinds of things though. I mean, exercise and fitness are definitely things that are linked to my body image. And I take great pains to disconnect them.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, when I work out, I deliberately never weigh myself.
Mm-hmm.
The only times I've weighed myself in the last like 2 years, 3 years are when I'm having a physical,
mm-hmm.
and for, you know, insurance related purposes, which are basically physicals.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't set weight goals, and I don't because I find that idea very uncomfortable. I find that notion that sets the groundwork for that. The very premise of setting a weight goal is I am unhappy with my current weight.
Mm-hmm.
I must reach a new one. And mm-hmm. what I'm actually unhappy with, or what I like to think that I am unhappy with, is not my weight, but my level of activity. I wish to be more active.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that being more active is a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. And thus I am out at 6:30 in the morning with a different Ryan 3 days a week, just running my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it also has to do with exercise often involves showing weakness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a person who sleekly and artfully runs 2 miles,
mm-hmm.
or 10 miles, or any miles. I am a person who chokes and gasps and drags myself through a mile and a half,
mm-hmm.
and then comes out for more punishment. And that is a different thing. But the thing is I also know that the harder I work to divorce those goals from, mm-hmm. from body image, mm-hmm. the more closely tied to body image they are.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't work so hard if it didn't have such an effect on body image.
Mm-hmm.
And that notion of being the fit guy or being the handsome guy or stuff like that. I'm not the handsome guy, I'm the funny guy.
Yeah.
It's way, and honestly, it is way better to be the funny guy.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. So it body image tends to come up in slightly different ways. I mean, there's less media pressure, but there is a lot of internal pressure or paranoia of what other people think about us. Because I when I used to run in undergrad, I would run at 11 o'clock at night because I knew most people were gone from campus at that point. So, and I would run on Ring Road as a nice, convenient, consistent distance. And so I would start my run at 11 o'clock. Knowing that most students had left.
And the hilarious, I think you're right about the paranoia. And the hilarious thing about the paranoia is it is completely groundless. Because mm-hmm. if you are on a run
mm-hmm.
and you are, you know, even if you are sweating and dying and you run into a person that you know, unless that person is a dick,
mm-hmm.
odds are good they're going to be like, hey, man, you're out for a run. Right on.
Yep.
Like they any judgment they have of you will not be expressed in that moment or anywhere. They're just going to be like, oh, huh, they're out running. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there isn't any... I mean, you know, except for really hardcore runners who are also dicks, that Venn diagram probably exists. In which case, they're going to be like, wow, I could totally run that in half the time you did.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But try running it in a fat suit, fucker.
Yeah. No, there's definitely going to be the trolls... But most people are just going to ignore you altogether. No. Or they might acknowledge that you are an individual moving through space. But that's about it.
Well, I run mostly on a high school track.
Mm-hmm.
There's a high school right by my house. And it's, you know, I get up at 6:30. And usually we're still out there running by about 7:27, you know, o'clock. And we get people, like there are students who are starting to show up and to early morning practices and things like that. And there are a couple of other people who run there. And the interesting thing is that in years of running on this track, I have never been heckled.
Mm-hmm.
These are teenagers. Like, yeah. These are high school students. These are literally the second most, like second only to drunk college students. These are the most likely demographic to heckle me and give me shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they never have,
hmm.
Which I guess is a credit to the students who go to the school near my house.
Hmm.
But also, it is also probably more the fact that my fears of them doing that are unfounded.
Hmm.
That most people are, you know, barring the exceptionally cruel, are not going to give you shit hmm. while you are running. Because you are essentially... I mean, this is the thing. Running from you don't like you don't run. We're going to talk about our workout plans in a bit, but you don't really run. You do like bike stuff and cardio, and I like running for me is self abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really enjoy it. I just really want to do it,
mm-hmm.
and I force myself to do it until I can't anymore, and then I continue to force myself to do it in the hope that I will get better. And I don't know, at that point I feel like anybody who sees me on the track is just like, why would I kick this guy when he's already down? Like, there's nothing worse I can do to him right now.
No. Well, to be fair, you are a large guy, so they maybe don't want to pick on you for fear of...
No, honestly, you know, if they've seen me out there running, they know that I'm not going to catch them. They're going to run away, they're going to be like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'll kill you right after my tracheotomy.
There was always a joke of...
Let me get my buffer.
There's always a joke that usually the other person can run faster in fear than I can in anger. So I'll never catch them.
No, usually the other person can run faster in fear than I can in anything.
Yeah. So, I don't know if there's much more to comment on body issue because I feel the same fears. When I first started going to the gym back at the beginning of September, I had some of those fears of people judging me because historically I've always worked out with a partner. So now I worked out solo, and now I don't feel that at all.
Do you worry about your partner judging you?
Hmm?
Do you worry about your partner judging you?
No. When I used to work out with my buddy Carson, he never judged me. He could often lift more weights than I could, but I never felt like he judged me, and he was always looking out for me. And we keep each other company, but now I'm working out by myself. I go and do my own thing. There might be people staring at me, but again, like, most people tend to be, if they're not focused on talking to each other, then they're focused on doing what they're doing at the moment. There's very few people watching, or at least at my gym, I find that there's not a lot of people just sitting there staring around at other people. There might be, but I don't notice it. Except if you're on the bikes.
Why do you come to this gym? Well, I bought a membership, but I realized that exercise is more of a spectator sport for me.
No, true.
I really just like to watch people exercise and work out, and I don't feel a lot of pressure to use the machines.
No, I mean, here, a plausible reason why somebody would be people watching is what I do notice is there's a lot of inefficient people working out.
That's true. I do that too when I'm at gyms and stuff like that. Is I find the people who are like super sports, mm-hmm. and I watch what they're doing, mm-hmm. because often they are doing it in a way that is better than me, mm-hmm. and they're doing it and better in the sense not that isn't just like lifting more stuff, but mm-hmm. like technique with weights and with on machines and whatnot. Like running is really important because you can mess yourself up pretty badly.
Yeah.
So watching them and watching their technique can often teach me stuff. And I've also found that as long as I'm not approaching them while they're in mid-squat, they're usually perfectly happy to answer questions, much in the same way that vegans are perfectly happy to talk about veganism.
Yeah. When you don't have a steak in your
mouth. At any time of the day, yeah. Like it's like, oh, because I mean, it's, I don't know, they seem to enjoy it because I'm like, you're doing something that looks right. And I want to do it that way.
So I think to recap this section, it's sufficient to say that even though we experience self-conscious body issues, largely you and I are approaching exercising from seemingly virtuous or correct positions, that we genuinely want to be healthier. We want to push ourselves to be healthier, and it's less to do with looking better or anything like that. Not to say that if there's anything wrong with looking better, but we're doing it because we want to be healthier. At least maybe I shouldn't.
My doctor did tell me that, and to be fair, he was right. But no, my thing was, the message for a lot of media is sort of be fit or be thin, but for me it's be strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like I one of the things I really enjoy doing, I did a video about it like a year and a half ago, was helping people move.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the easier I can make that experience on myself, mm-hmm. the better I am. The more, like, I do occasionally enjoy sports and activity, and mm-hmm. I feel like these are things that I should enjoy because I spend a lot of time sitting down in front of a computer editing videos and editing podcasts.
Yep.
And so it's good to get outside and have reasons to leave my house and see people and generally be a full person because activity is part of that.
Yeah. And, I'm the same way. I sit at my desk at work. I sit when I commute. I sit at home when I'm relaxing. And then I stand at the bar. So really, like, I want to work out to be healthier, but I also wanted to start working out to be stronger at the bar. That way you don't have to fight. You can just hold.
Did you find me imposing? I was going for imposing.
Yeah, so.
So what's your workout plan then? What is your...
So this time around, I went to the gym and I got a free consultation with a trainer, and because I had not stepped foot in the gym since 2008, I asked her for a general total body exercise plan. So she gave me a couple exercises, and now I've settled on 8 main exercises, mm-hmm. that work the push-pull on the total body. Not all at once, but every major part.
Of crunch yourself up in a ball and then stretch everything out to its limit.
Yeah, the one total body.
The all-in-one pressure chamber workout.
Yeah. So what I do is lateral pull-downs, shoulder press, chest press, bicep curls, seated dips, leg curls, leg extensions, and leg presses. And then now I've started to add the cardio component. So I've really prided myself in being able to get through all 8 exercises, and I do 3 sets of 12 reps, with very little rest in between. Mm-hmm. Generally, I'm listening to music, and it's kind of, okay, I feel ready for the next set, and it feels longer, but I imagine it's closer to 15 seconds probably is of just me sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do that in about 30 minutes. So since I've gotten that down, and I find that I'm not incredibly sore the next day. I've added in cycling, the recumbent bike, just doing a 30-minute pre-setting for the weight loss. So it gives me stretched-out interval training of really difficult periods and then rest periods. So that's generally what I'm doing now. It's not what I used to do, but it's getting me back, and I'm trying to be conscious of instilling the habit, because it takes, what do they say, like 3 weeks to a month total, like 3 to 4 weeks in order to develop a habit.
Yeah.
And if I'm only going 3 days a week, there's the opportunity to fall apart or to fall off the wagon. So I've gone pretty reliably since the start of the month when I started working out, and it's averaged out to about every other day that I'm going to the gym. Well, with weekends, maybe 2 days, and then back in the gym. So I'm doing fairly well, consistent. But the most important thing I'm finding that I don't remember doing before is I look forward to exercising. I actually, like, even if I'm tired, I look forward to going to the gym. I find it somewhat relaxing in a, you know, kind of paradoxical way that I'm there brutally lifting weights, sometimes it feels like. But I find it oddly relaxing, sort of like a meditation. Again, I'm in my own world because I clip on my music, like my MP3 player, and I just start listening, and I just go through my exercises, and the music is there to distract me, and I find that I walk out feeling good. I feel like I accomplished something, even if I've only been there for 40 minutes.
I'm the same way. So I run in the morning. I use the Couch to 5K program, which I highly recommend. It's supposed to work in 9 weeks. For me, it's going to take like 15 because I keep plateauing, and it's getting colder, and cold air, it's a pain to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Not as bad as smog, but pretty bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm out in the morning, and it's one of those things. I really like a morning run because that is the hardest part of my day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just get it out of the way, and everything else, I'm awake, and everything else feels a bit easier. The hardest part of that is actually dragging myself out of bed at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Which is only usually hard because I've been up until 2 doing stuff. But
playing competitive sports.
Skyrim is not a competitive sport. But if it was, I would be pretty good at it. No, but on top of that, I try, and I don't technically count walking as exercise because I am a pedestrian and I can walk sort of indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
But I often count it sort of time-wise toward that because, mm-hmm. you know, for example, tonight, after we finish recording, I have to walk down to the lab, unless I drive with Ryan, and stain some tables.
Mm-hmm.
And that will count. That will count because I will not have time to then also go to the gym tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a workout room in my apartment building, and so I go down there and use our universal weight machine, and I do shoulder presses and machine rows, and, you know, lat or tricep pull downs and lat pull downs, and I do curls on dumbbells
mm-hmm.
rather than I've been thinking about. I've been looking at our curl bar suspiciously. The interesting thing about living in our apartment building that is mostly full of seniors is I think it's only me and one other person who use the weight machine or the weights at all,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of nice because it means it stays on my settings most of the time. I don't know who the other person is. I've never seen them. I just know that sometimes I come down and it's set to a different weight. and I usually do 2 sets of 10 twice a day. And I sort of, my thing, I don't listen to music. I probably should. I talk to myself because I talk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I try and focus on, you know, what I'm going to do when I get back upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And in between sets, I will go and hang out in my sauna. And I'm trying to get to remember to go swimming, but going swimming on my off days is harder to remember on account of it. I like sleeping in on those days, and I don't often get to. But yeah, like it's sort of, I really like the Couch to 5K. I'm really concerned about winter because, I mean, I don't like the cold. In fact, I hate the cold, but running in the cold is not a thing that bugs me, but running on ice is a thing that bugs me because the last thing I want is to mess up my knee. That, I guess, is the difference between exercise and sports. I mean, really, in sports, if you push yourself to your limit or beyond your limit to the point where you get hurt, you're often admired. If you took a risk for the team, like you see those players who take slap shots to the face,
mm-hmm.
specifically hockey players who take slap shots because you don't see a lot of badminton players taking slap shots to the face. Badminton, though, also a high energy and highly competitive sport.
Yeah.
But whereas an exercise, like if you push yourself beyond that limit, you have done something wrong. Mm-hmm. Like the correct response to that level of strain is walk away and cool down,
mm-hmm.
not push harder.
Mm-hmm. Walk it off.
Or stop what you're doing and recover. I mean, exercise is about personal care,
mm-hmm.
not about taking risks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your bungee jumping is not exercise.
Yeah.
Because the point is that you are going to come back to that exercise tomorrow. And you can always come back to it tomorrow. And tomorrow you will maybe be a little more ready. And you will be able to move through it. It's a slower process.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's like gardening in the same way that pretty much everything is like gardening. You just sort of, you start by planting seeds and you sort of water them. And you water them every day. And eventually they grow. But for a while they don't. And you're just sort of watering the ground and hoping.
Mm-hmm.
That is the best description of my runs ever. What are you doing? I'm just sort of watering the ground and hoping. You hoping you get faster? Nope. Just hoping it'll get easier. Of course, when it gets easier, that's when you make it harder. And so what is your official sort of workout goal?
So when I met with my trainer, so we did an initial consultation, and then I'm meeting with her at the end of the month, the last Monday of the month. And we're going to do a check-in where she'll weigh me, yeah. She'll take all of my measurements again, and I'll probably have to do like a push-up test and a wall sit test. But I pretty much only told her two goals.
Like a wall sit, like Spider-Man?
I would appreciate that, but no, the one where you pretend you're sitting on a chair with no chair.
Oh, okay.
The wall sit. I think I made it a minute. It had been years since I did a wall sit. So I told her two basic goals. In general, I want to lose weight. It'd be more fair to say I want to lose body fat and gain muscle, because if I have more muscle, that means that I'm probably moving more efficiently and it's less strain on my joints. So I just want to lose some weight so that, actually a perfect example is at the bar. If I have to quickly chase after somebody who tries to steal a drink from the bar, like hides it to take with them. Sometimes just the quick jog over, I'll land wrong on my knee and I'll feel it. Like I won't like debilitate me, but I'll walk back and I'll feel the pain in my knee. And I know I could probably mitigate that. A, if I worked out and my joints were a little bit more pliable, but B, if I just had less weight coming down on my knee when I first go after them. Cause I mean, I don't have time to warm up. So that's not an option for me.
I'll chase you. I'll get you. You just wait.
Just give me a second.
Let me do some stretches.
Give me 30 seconds to stretch. So
psych up. Get up to a brisk walk, little jog.
Yeah. So my first goal
is I'm gonna get you.
Just in general to lose weight. My second goal that I told her is I said to her, so you know when you are driving and you hit a moose and the moose is fine but the car is totaled. I kind of want to do that in the bar where when I'm wrestling with somebody.
You want to wrestle a moose?
Yeah. I want to be solid. Like, I want to be very solid on my feet. I hate fighting. I don't like fighting with people. Our goal in the bar, and my goal specifically, is to do whatever I can to restrain them. And by restraining them, I just want to have the endurance and the strength to be able to hold on to their limbs so that I don't get injured and they don't hurt themselves and nobody else gets hurt, right? And I find that and I talked with some security buddies and they say it's all lower body, for that kind of thing. You'd think it's arms, but they said, no, when you're moving a body, the stronger your legs and the stronger your core is, the easier it is. So that's what I told her is I want to be just solid that, you know, when I plant my feet, I'm not going anywhere. And when I pick up somebody to move, we're going to all move together kind of deal. So those are currently my two goals, is to generally lose weight to put less strain on my body and to be able to be hit by a car and the car is totaled.
Those both seem like reasonable goals. I haven't consulted with no trainers.
Mm-hmm.
I have intermittently talked with people in my life who are more concerned with exercise than me,
mm-hmm.
but I have beyond that consulted with no one. I have read about things on the internet,
mm-hmm.
some of which are authoritative, most of which are not.
Mm-hmm.
And I have generally sort of attempted to do so in a way that involves as little actual going places as possible,
mm-hmm.
which is why I go down the street or to my basement.
Mm-hmm.
But my goal is 10 pull-ups.
Mm. That's a good
goal. I established early in life, at a foolhardy age, a sort of hierarchy of exercise. And there are exercises which I arbitrarily believe are superior to other exercises. Mm-hmm. Whether they are factually or not is not only something I am unaware of, it is something I am unconcerned about. I mean, what matters is that I need to have some kind of goal. And I mean, you don't really, you don't have to have a fitness goal. You can exercise because it's fun, because you like it. You can exercise for all kinds of reasons. There's nothing weird about not having a goal for it. But given that it is a thing that challenges me, I felt like I wanted to have a goal, and I felt like I wanted that goal to be a little weird. And pull-ups to me are the king of exercise. The sovereign, as it were. Like, I mean, push-ups are okay. You know, bench pressing and squats and things like that, they're pretty cool. Running to me is the king of cardio exercise, even though it is, I'm pretty sure, been demonstrated in studies that it is not. I mean, I have seen articles ranging from running is the greatest thing ever invented by man since we could chase things with spears to running is horrible and will wreck you forever. So, I don't know which one of them to believe, but I know that I like the idea of running, and it is the kind of thing that if I have to do it, I wish to do it well. Maybe one day I could catch someone in anger. One day. Like, that's when I take them by surprise, right?
Yeah.
They're like, you know, it's okay. This guy, he's chased me before. We're fine. You know, I'll just, and then I just surge up on him and grab him, and then I don't actually know what I do with them at that point, but we'll burn that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah.
But pull-ups are the sovereign of exercise. They are running everything. And to me, they are, I mean, because of the way that they work, they involve me hauling every bit of me off the ground. And there are, you know, they work in tandem with the notion of me being stronger and being able to haul more of me, and there being less of me to haul. I'm currently at no pull-ups, and look forward to being there for quite a while. I mean, it is pretty hard. I know people who actually have like very active jobs, like hydro linesmen and stuff, who like 10 is a big number. I mean, unless you're in the army and you work out every day, 10 is a pretty big number.
Yeah,
but I nonetheless look forward to it. I mean, to possibly never achieving it. But no, it's just I needed something, and that was it. And I have no idea how I'm going to get there beyond lifting more and more weight.
Yeah.
But that'll do it. No. It's one of those things where I think exercise on the whole, I mean, we've talked about body image and whatnot, but I think, I feel like I can say this authoritatively, that exercising because of body image is a bad way to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Because not just because people who engage in that sort of like fat shaming style exercise stuff are doing a bad thing. They are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also that it's not a thing that you do. Like, exercise isn't like baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, if you play baseball, you know, or softball or something, you have a team and it's a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You put like sort of 4 or 5 hours a week into it, where you go to a practice, and where you go to a game, or sometimes a lot more and you go to a tournament. You know, maybe you have 2 practices a week because you're, you know, you're super committed, but you're a grown up. Like, unless you're a 15-year-old on a baseball team, in which case you're gonna have probably a lot more than that because you've got you got more time. You know, you're gonna do a bit, and then you're gonna, you know, and then your season's gonna end.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna get back into your season, you know, and then the next year you start your new season, and then yeah, I mean, baseball as a hobby seems pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that much about it on account of not playing it. But exercise isn't like that. Exercise is a thing you do all the time. Exercise is like eating food. Like, it's a thing you're going to do every day, at least a little. And sometimes you're going to want to eat a you do a bunch of it, and sometimes you're not. You're going to make plans about eating food, whether you're going to eat food with other people, whether you're going to eat food by yourself, where you're going to make good food and eat good food, things like that. Like, you're going to, it is a habit. It is a light. It is a lifestyle. I mean, that's my secret goal, is to create that kind of lifestyle, because I think it is a lifestyle I would enjoy, because I find that when I am done exercising, even though I have punished my body brutally, I am happy. Mm-hmm. I am happy that I have done it. Mm-hmm. And I feel good. And I like feeling good. I mean, my real secret goal of exercise isn't feel thinner or feel stronger, but just feel happy. And that is a way that is a thing I do that makes me happy. And so the more I do it, the happier I feel until I can't walk anymore.
I think the difference ultimately comes down to intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. You're exercising, I would say, I'm going to say rightly, or you have good reason to exercise when it's something that internally you want to do. But if it's something like what you're saying, that it's because it's expected, like you're expected to look a certain way by somebody else, it's somebody outside of you.
Well, fuck those people.
I know, that's what I mean. Like, it's not a good reason to exercise if you're conforming to a body image. I guess if you're conforming to a body image that you have of yourself, it's maybe I'm breaking down a little bit in that regard. But if you want to, you have to want to exercise. You have to hopefully enjoy it on some level, especially if you're doing it right. If you're doing it wrong and hurting yourself.
I have done that.
I've done that before. It's probably one of the reasons why I fell off the bandwagon. But, I don't know. Maybe it's something that you can hash it out in the comments down below in terms of why you exercise and why you think it's important, or what do you think are good reasons and bad reasons to exercise. Because I don't know. I'm really hard-pressed to say there's a bad reason to exercise, because you're still exercising.
No, I think there are lots of bad reasons to exercise.
I guess. But...
If someone berates you into exercising, then you're exercising for a bad reason. If you are forced to exercise, mm-hmm. If you have a job that hinges, there are places. They made a joke about it in Ocean's 13, but there are real places where they sort of will rate you on your body mass index and stuff like mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. and that. That is sort of an intolerable thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I should probably modify my previous end. Like, that does include. Yeah. Okay. You're right about that.
Yeah. Like, I can think of reasons. I mean, and the thing is that not exercising is a totally permissible thing. Mm-hmm. Like, as I have been that person where you don't work out and everyone around you works out and they're like, "Man, you should just work out. Mm-hmm. Working out will fucking fix your life. Oh my God, it's so great. I just ran like 75 miles, and at the end of it, I achieved enlightenment. I could levitate now."
Do you even CrossFit, bro?
Yeah. Oh my God, the cult of CrossFit. That is not a topic we're going to talk about. Partly because I don't know anything about CrossFit.
Yeah.
Beyond the fact that the people I know who do CrossFit will never shut up about CrossFit. Yeah. They're like vegans.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I mean, there's this notion that, and that's the thing, is if you don't work out and you are happy, then just be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as people will talk about health risks and things like that, if those are not risks that you worry about, feel free to continue not worrying about them.
No.
Like, awesome. I mean, the thing that we both have in common is that we exercise in some way to be happy. What makes you happy is that feeling of personal excellence that you have deep within your virtue ethicist breast whenever you exercise and realize that you are slightly more like Charles Atlas. And that when someone at the bar decides to kick sand in your face, you will just hug them until they're unable to kick sand anymore.
Yeah. Charles Atlas in the Greek statues from antiquity.
Yeah. And I, on the other hand, am happy because I have performed an act of self-abuse that I regard as improvement, and I feel that all improvement must be somewhat painful.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, this podcast has definitely gone on long enough. This podcast is long enough that you could listen to it while working out and get a good workout.
We recommend listening to us while working out.
We will help you become a better person just by listening and tuning into the Concept Crucible podcast.
The Concept Crucible workout tape.
the worst workout tape ever.
I don't know. We could write some songs for it. It'd be kind of fun.
I guess that's true.
Anyway, I'm Jim.
And I'm Ryan.
And keep fit and have fun.
Oh, boy. And stay awesome.
Cool.
That would have been easier if I did it with my left hand.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, to be honest, my first instinct was to shake your hand. Normally when people offer me their hand, it's usually under the context of shaking their hand.
It's really hard to sync the sound to a handshake.
I know.
Unless you have a particularly noisome handshake.
We could figure it out.